back to our Sunday evening service here at Southend Baptist Church. Thank you once again for being a part of our online church service. We'll be right back in our foundation study this evening. Hopefully these lessons have been a blessing. They've taught you, you've learned from them, they've encouraged you, strengthened your faith, giving you some foundation you can grow on. Like I mentioned before, if you'd like to know some of the previous lessons or like to hear some of the previous lessons, you can go to our sermon audio page, just look at Southend Baptist Church, and there you'll find all the audio and the handouts that we pass out. Typically on the Sunday night evening service. So you can go find those there and grow your faith and grow in your foundations and your faith. But thank you once again for being with us. God bless you. We love you. We hope the service tonight will be an encouragement and a blessing to you.
Even proud of the angels, they rejoice.
Commission to go and tell a lost and dying world of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Proverbs chapter number 11, verse number 30, the Bible says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord, just to be able to be back in the Bible again this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the foundations, Lord, that you've given us in our Christian life that we can find clearly in your word, Lord, whether they be things of obligation, things that we should be doing, Lord, whether they be things of inspiration, things that encourage us, Lord, the foundations that help us grow and inspire to be a better Christian for the cause of Christ. And I just pray, Father, Lord, this evening that you hide behind the cross of Calvary, would you fill with your power, Lord, help me to preach and teach with clarity, and Lord, help me to be effective, God, and make a difference, and Lord, those that are listening to this evening, Lord, thank you. Lord, for that great opportunity that we have to share the gospel, Lord, to spread the gospel and to share it with the lost and dying world. Lord, we have the answer to every man's problem, every woman's issue. Lord, we have the solution to that, Lord, and it is you, and it is your gospel, and it is that gift of salvation, Lord, that you've made available to every man. Lord, my honest prayer is that no man would turn away and no man would push it away, but, Lord, that every person would respond to it, Lord, and trust as their Savior, Lord, and they would spend eternity in heaven with you. Lord, what a thankful, Lord, just thankful this evening. Lord, we get to be a part of what you're doing here on planet Earth. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, you're the glory for what's done here tonight. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, so we've come here. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30, same place we were last week. And last week we introduced this idea, and we kind of brought up the idea of soul. And not that we've introduced it, we've talked about it before here at our church. But as far as this study goes, it's the first time we've mentioned it. And last week we looked at the definition of soul winning, and it's not anything crazy. It's just simply taking the gospel and sharing the gospel with those around you. But it's more than just sharing the gospel. It's more just than telling some of the gospel. It's telling them with the intentions of whoever is listening to us that they're going to trust Christ after they hear what Christ has done for them. And we also learn what soul winning is not. Remember, we learn that we're not to argue. We're not there to be critical. We're not there to go even just through the motions. We are there to see sinners saved by the grace of God. And that is our desire, that is our want when it comes to soul winning, is to see sinners saved by the grace of God. Tonight, we're going to go over some more truths concerning soul winning and sharing the gospel. I want you to notice, number one, tonight, there are some practical things that mean you can do, some practical helps that mean you can put into action to help us as we go out sharing the gospel. Now, sharing the gospel is a spiritual endeavor. It should be founded in the scriptures, which it is, and it should be bathed in prayer. We should be praying before we go out. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, give us discernment. Lord, give us clarity. Lord, give us understanding. God, give us grace. God, give us humility. God, help us to go out and be the best soul winner we can be for the cause of Christ. And but there are some things, it is a spiritual endeavor, no doubt, but there are some things that me and you can do practically to help aid us in sharing the gospel. Some of the things I'll mention tonight, there may not be a specific verse, so to speak. I may not be able to take you to a chapter and verse and say, this is where the Bible tells us to do this. But they're just simply good practical truths that we can put into practice to help us be more effective, or to help us give a better witness or a better testimony of the gospel. Like I said, they're not necessarily spiritual things, they're practical. And you don't have to do these things to share the gospel. It'll aid you in sharing the gospel. And so let's say you're sharing the gospel and you don't have the ability or the time to do something that is mentioned here tonight. Share the gospel anyways. You know, if you're in a plane that's going down, and the person next to you says, hey, is there any way I can know for sure I'm going to heaven? You don't have time to go run and grab your Bible. All you've got is your remote for a plane crash. Share the gospel as best you can in that scenario. Give that person hope to trust in Christ. And so these are some practical things that we can go and apply and use as we're sharing the gospel. Don't let these things be a hindrance to you sharing the gospel. You say, well, I don't have some of those things that Brother Tate mentioned this evening. I can't go share the gospel. Don't let them be a hindrance, but instead let them be a help to you as you're sharing the gospel. So we'll go through these quickly tonight. The first one is look presentable. Look presentable. Now, more than likely, this is going to apply to you if you're going door to door, or if you're dealing with people that you're not very well acquainted with, or you're kind of necessarily strangers with. This is where this first practical truth really applies to you. You know, if you're going out and about and sharing the gospel, if you're sharing the gospel on the job site or where you work, good chances are you're probably already wearing a uniform and you're already in your work clothes. So I'm not saying go home, take a shower, look presentable, then come back and work, share the gospel. Share it anywhere, share it on your lunch break, share it on your shorter break, share it if you're carpooling, share it on the ride into work, share it on the way home from work. Share the gospel while you're there. But if we're going out and if we're going to our neighbors or to somebody that we don't know, it would do us good to look presentable as we're heading there and as we're going there. Now, tonight I'm not saying you have to look like you're going to a gala at the Ritz-Carlton or anything like that, but a good appearance goes a long way. It makes a good impression. And I know that may sound superficial, and that may sound kind of shallow, but we want to take away any excuse from someone or that someone might come up with as a way for them not to have to listen to what you're about to tell them. We don't take away any excuse that will hinder the listener from hearing the gospel. And so if you're going out and about, if you're going in, into the neighborhoods, or if you're going to somebody that you're kind of acquainted with, you don't know very well, go there looking presentable. All right, go there looking like you care enough that you made yourself look nice to come and share the gospel with them. So look presentable. Be punctual. Be punctual, especially if you set up a time with somebody. You talk with somebody, whether it be like a coworker, a family member, and they say, "Hey, listen, I would love for you to come to my house and tell me more about the gospel and tell me more about how I could be saved." You know, once you set that time, make sure you're on time. Please be punctual. And you say, "Well, preacher, why is that such a big deal if I'm late, or if I'm 30 minutes behind and I don't let them know? Why is that such a big deal? Because you realize what kind of impression that might be putting on that person, or might be giving that person? They just told me that this gospel is eternally important, and I need to make sure I'm saved before I die. If it's that important to them, if they believe it's that important, why in the world are they pushing me off? Why in the world are they not willing to be here on time if it's that important?" So when you think about it that way, you realize why it's important to be on time. Now listen, I'm not saying that you're never going to be late. Because listen, we're human beings. There's only so much that we can do. There's only so much that we can control. There's only so much that we can change. You know, if you're driving across town and a train pulls up and now you're going to be delayed because you've got the world's longest coal train coming through, it'd be good for you to call the person and explain. Don't just leave them hanging. If you know you're going to be late because something came up that you can't necessarily work around or get through in enough time to be there on time, make sure you call that person that you're going to deal with and let them know, "Hey, listen, I'm going to be a few minutes late. There's some things that come up unexpectedly. But listen, I'm coming to share the gospel with you. I'm coming to tell you what the Bible says about salvation. So please forgive me in my tardiness, but I'm going to be there as fast as I can." So listen, if you can't be there on time, please make sure you let the person know you're not going to be there. Because we don't want to give off any wrong impressions. We don't want to give off any wrong attitudes concerning the gospel. So some practical things. Be presentable. Be punctual. Be respectful. Be respectful. Listen, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're better than anybody else, or doesn't mean that the world's here to serve you. If we're going to go share the gospel with people, we must be respectful. Address them properly. Use your manners. Make sure you say thank you, or make sure you say no please. Make sure you say ma'am or sir. Use your manners and be respectful. Don't walk into somebody's house that you don't know and say, yo, dog, you want to get saved? Be respectful. Be courteous. Be kind. Remember, you are at somebody else's house, if you're at somebody else's house, remember that. It is their house. It is their house. Ask them, do I need to take my shoes off? Do I need to do something? Do I need to wash my hands? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? You're at their house, so be respectful. Or you're on their front porch, be respectful. If you're in their cubicle, be respectful. If you're in their work area, be respectful. If you're in their yard, be respectful. Listen, the goal here is not to share the gospel and then burn the bridge if they don't respond accordingly. No, it is to share the gospel. And if they don't respond at that moment, we want to leave the door open so we can come again and share the gospel with them again. I'm just glad that, God gave me multiple chances to be saved by the grace of God. He did not owe that to me, but I'm thankful that He did, and I'm thankful for those that shared and continuously shared that just didn't burn that bridge with me. But notice, if we're going to be effective, there's some practical things that me and you can practice and put in the effort that'll help us, that'll aid us in being a more effective somewhere. So be punctual, be respectful, be presentable. Look presentable. And then finally, under this idea of practical things, be genuine. Be genuine. Be who God created you to be. Be genuine. Listen, you don't have to be a salesperson. We're not selling the gospel. We're sharing the gospel. We're not trying to make somebody, force somebody into something, something they don't want to be a part of. We're not like that person who's trying to make the sale at any cost. We are not selling the gospel. We are sharing the gospel. We got in the neighborhoods, and a lot of times you'll see people with signs that say, no soliciting. And for a while there, I was kind of weary about knocking on those doors. No soliciting. But then again, we're not there to sell anything. We're not there to try to make you buy something. We're just here to tell you that Jesus loves you and that He died for you. And He made a way for you to know that you can have eternal life. I'm not selling you anything. And I remember one time we were in a neighborhood just doing that. One, we were back to the church and we were sharing the gospel with people there. And we were walking around and I seen the police car drive by. And I thought nothing of it the first time. And then I seen the police car drive by back again. I said, all right, well, there might be something going on. And they came back again the third time. This time they stopped and asked us, hey, what are y'all doing out there? It was me, a group from the church. Said, hey, what are y'all doing out here? And I told him, sir, we're out here just inviting folks to church and telling people about Jesus. He goes, y'all ain't selling nothing. I said, no, sir. Not selling a thing. We're just sharing the gospel with them. He goes, all right. He said, well, if you were selling things, I was going to ask you for your license. And he said, what you're doing isn't illegal. What you're doing isn't wrong. You have more than all rights. You have all rights to go out and do exactly what you're doing. And I said, well, thank you, officer. But while you're here, if you were to die right now, do you know where you're going? See, sharing the gospel, we don't have to sell nothing. We're not selling anything. We're not trying to force people into a decision. We're just simply sharing them, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their heart to draw Him unto them Himself, and hopefully they trust Christ as their Savior. So you don't have to be a salesman. You don't have to be pitchy. You don't have to go in there and laugh at corny jokes and do all the things that salesmen do to try to steal a deal. You don't have to be a salesman. You don't have to be a lawyer. Listen, me and you, we don't have to defend God. God's pretty good at defending Himself. And we don't have to defend His Word. He's already done that. And so listen, we don't have to go there and defend God. We're not there to argue and point our fingers in people's faces and win the argument like a lawyer is supposed to do. And force them into a decision once again. No, that's not our job. I remember being on the jury for a court case here in Augusta. And that was what the two lawyers were doing. One the prosecutor, the other one the defense attorney. And both of them were trying to get the jury to see things their way or their client's way, so to speak. And they were willing to enact whatever methods they could, whether it be through through anger, whether it be through pity. They were trying their best to reel the jury in onto their side and to choose to make a decision based on what they wanted to be, whether it was truth or not. And so, listen, you don't have to be a salesman. You don't have to be a lawyer. We're not there to argue with people. And you don't have to be a scientist. Listen, I might have a big head, but I am not a scientist by any means. Listen, we're not there trying to prove to them that the Bible is true. That's already been proven. Me and you, that's not our responsibility to prove to someone that the Bible is true. That's already been proven. God's already taken care of that. Psalms 18:30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. God's already tried His word, and it's already been proven to be perfect. So listen, we don't have to be a salesman. We don't have to be a lawyer. We don't have to be a scientist. Well, preacher, what exactly do I need to be? Be you. Be a Christian who has been saved by the grace of God with a sincere desire to see a sinner saved. Be you. Be you. Listen, when I knock on someone's door, if I go to share the gospel with somebody, I don't change. I don't go in there and all of a sudden have the gift of gab. I don't. Normally I'm pretty nice and I'll introduce myself and you know, say hey and all of that and you know, tell them that the house looks nice because 9 times out of 10 the house does look nice. So they got a nice place or I try to find something to compliment them on just to kind of ease the water, so to speak. But then I get right into it. You know, that's just how I am. I'm not much for small talk. If you call me and you have a need, let me know. If I call you, I have a need. Listen, within 30 seconds, I'm going to tell you what I need. That's just how I am. That's how I function. And so when I go out the door, I'm the same way. Listen, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be cordial. I'm going to introduce myself. All those kind of things, and then I'm going to get right at it. If you were dying right now, you know where you're going. And get right down, and that's how God created me to be. And some people can talk for 30 minutes and just have a good time of talking, and then they'll get right into it. Be who God created you to be. But don't feel like you have to be a salesman. Don't feel like you have to be a lawyer. Don't feel like you have to be a scientist. Just be who God created you to be. God's already given you everything you need to be a soul winner. If you're saved by the grace of God, He's given you His word. He's given you a testimony. That's all you need. He made your personality a certain way that you'll reach certain people. So be you. Be genuine. Be punctual. Be on time. Be presentable. Look your best. And present yourself in a way that would make the listener want what you have. So be presentable. Be punctual. Be genuine. Be respectful. The last thing I want to do is get a phone call from somebody and say, hey, one of your members was over at my house and they were just absolutely rude to me. They said that they called me dumb, they called me ignorant, they called me you fill in the blank because I wasn't saved. Listen, that's not going to sit very well with me. We ought to be respectful no matter where we are and who we're with, especially when we're sharing the gospel. So there's some practical things you can do this evening to help you be a more effective soul winner. Just practical things. Like I'm saying, you know, if the house is on fire or like I said, that plane's going down and you only have a few minutes to share the gospel, don't let those things be a hindrance to you. Don't look down and say, oh, I don't have a time. I can't share the gospel. If the plane's crashing, share the gospel. You know, get it out before it's eternally too late. But there's some practical help. Notice number two tonight, have a plan. Have a plan. When me and you go out and we're sharing the gospel, whether it be in the neighborhood, whether it be with our coworkers, whether it be with family members, have a plan. Know what to do when it comes time to share the gospel. Know what to do. And y'all heard me say this before, and I'll say it again tonight. If you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. Now, when it comes to soul winning, we are to be led by the Spirit. But that doesn't mean you just aimlessly walk around and waiting for something to happen. No. You wait. You do what you know you're supposed to do, trusting that the Lord will give you what you need to do when you need to do it. He has given us a clear plan in the Word of God that we can use to give a clear presentation of the gospel this evening. But always have a Bible. If you're going out with the intentions of sharing the gospel, it would do you good to always have a Bible on you. Always have a Bible. Well, you say, preacher, why is that important? Listen, it's great to be able to tell somebody what the Bible says. It is great to even be able to quote the verse to them. I'm all for that. But there's just something, and it removes a lot of doubt. When me and you can grab our Bible and say, would you look right here with me in the Word of God and see where it says this? That way the person that you're dealing with can see exactly what God has to say. And that way that'll help anchor down their salvation as well, because it won't be, well, that's what that preacher told me, or that's what that Christian told me. That is what the Word of God told me. So always have a Bible on you. They actually produce, just so you don't have to tilt around a big Bible like this or a big family Bible, they actually produce what's called a soul winner's Bible. And it's something small for the men. It fits right in our back pocket for your ladies. It'll fit nice in your purse. It contains the New Testament in it. It contains a lot of them even specifically marked to help you as you're dealing with somebody. And there's even questions in the back. It's something to help you deal with some of the questions that somebody might have that you're working with or that you're sharing the gospel with. And if you pass out tracts, make sure they have a clear presentation of the gospel on. Make sure they give all the information that's necessary for a sinner to be saved by the grace of God. We've got two here that we use predominantly in our church. One is a whosoever tract. It's a small little, it's about the size of a business card. And on the front it says whosoever, and it has a definition that says anybody or whoever will. And you flip it on the other side, it has the plan of salvation. It tells that person, that whosoever, how they can be saved. And also, we also have a church brochure that has, our information about our services, location of our church, information about sermon audio, information about, me as a pastor. But right there in the middle of it, we have the plan of salvation that shows you someone that's reading how they can be saved by the grace of God. So if you're giving those out, make sure that they have those things on there. Because you want to give that person every opportunity, even though you may not be able to speak to them, even though you may not be able to spend a one-on-one time with them, you want them to have everything they need to know how to be saved by the grace of God. And so have a plan, always have a Bible, and then once you have them to that place, once you've sat down, you've introduced yourself, those kind of things that they've invited you in, and you've had your pleasantry, so to speak, and you're getting in to the plan of salvation, know where to take them. Know where to take them. Take them straight to the scriptures that deal with salvation. Listen, creation, no doubt, is interesting. And prophecy is also intriguing. And typology, to me, are absolutely fascinating. But those are typically only interesting, intriguing, or fascinating to those that are saved by the grace of God. And so before you start dealing with creationism, and before you start dealing with prophecy and typologies, you need to make sure that person gets saved first. Because that's the first part. That's the first step of the Christian life, is being saved by the grace of God. So when you sit down with them, go directly to the scriptures that are going to deal with salvation and show them why they must be saved, show them how they can be saved, and how they can know for sure they have been saved. And so there's a simple presentation that all of us can use. And you've probably heard it before, but it's called the Romans Road of Salvation. If you haven't already, it would probably do you good to mark your Bibles in these verses. That way you know where to go, where to start, and then where to go. If you can remember to start in Romans 3:23, and you have the rest of that marked out in your Bible, you'll know where to turn next and exactly where you're going with this. That way you can give a clear presentation of the gospel. The worst thing, the last thing that means you want to do is leave the person confused on whether they can be saved or not, or whether if they can know for sure how they are saved. We want to give a clear, concise, confident presentation of the gospel. That way the person who's listening to us can know exactly why they need to be saved, how they can be saved, and how they're saved for all eternity. That way it's concreted to them, and they know for sure they can build off the same foundation that you started off with. And so I'm going to give you tonight, quickly, the Romans Road of Salvation. Romans Road of Salvation. And listen, this will be on the handout. It'll be available on our Facebook page. It'll also be available on our sermon audio page. So if you have to print it off, you can do that. And I have the verses on it, so you can copy these down. You can learn them. You can mark your Bible that you'll use, so you can know exactly where to go. So, but you always start, or you don't always, but you can start at Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23 this evening. And the Bible says this in Romans 3:23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So as you're dealing with the person concerning their salvation, you read Romans 3:23 and you start to ask them some questions concerning this, because you want to understand, you want to make sure they understand that they're a sinner. Because listen, somebody who doesn't think they're a sinner isn't going to think they need to be saved. Or a person who doesn't understand they are a sinner isn't going to have a need for salvation. So the first thing you need to realize, and they need to realize, is that they're a sinner in the eyes of God. And then Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. And that word all means all. It's all encompassing. It's all surrounding. It's all inclusive. All means all. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so right there you can stop and you can ask that person, do you know that you're a sinner? And they'll probably, if they're being honest, say, yes, I understand that I'm a sinner. I have done things that have transgressed the law of God. Now you can even ask, well, what is sin? Or they ask you, well, what is sin? It is anything that you say, anything that you do, or anything that you think that goes against the law of God. And we're all guilty of either doing something that goes against God, thinking something that goes against God, or saying something that goes against God. So we're all sinners. And so you can ask the person, do you know that you're a sinner this evening? And they say yes, proceed to the next step. Proceed to the next plan or part of the plan. So you go from Romans 3:23 to Romans 6:23. Romans 6:23, which says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." Now you want to break this verse up into two parts. The first part, "For the wages of sin is death." Well now listen, you just told me that you're a sinner. And that you know that you're a sinner. Did you know that your sin has a price tag on it? That it has a wage, and you ask, well, what is a wage? And they'll say, that's something that you earn. You work a job, they pay you a wage, that's something that you earn. But did you know that your sins have earned you a payment, or have earned you a price tag, and that there's a wage of sin? And notice what the Bible says in Romans 6:23. What is that wage? It's death. It's death. But it's not just talking about a physical death. We know that death in of itself, the physical death that me and you will experience when our hearts stop beating, that is a result of sin. But there's also a second death that speaks of an eternal separation from God. And because of sin, without salvation, without the gospel, without being saved, if we were to die in our sin, we will eternally be separated from God, because God in sin cannot abide in the same place. There is no sin in heaven. If we die in our sin, we'll go to hell. And so that's why our sin is so important, and our sin is so weighty, because of the price tag that it carries on. You can stop asking that person, do you realize this even, how the great price tag of your sin? You realize not only that you're a sinner, but your sin came with a high price tag. The wage of sin is death. But then notice that verse has two parts. That yes, your sin has a weight to it, or has a wage to it, and it's death. But notice what it said right there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So your sin demands death. And did you know that Jesus paid that debt? That Jesus paid that wage when He died on the cross of Calvary? And well, who did He pay for? Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, Jesus paid for every person's sin. He paid for it on the cross of Calvary when He shed His blood. And He did that for every person. And so we know that our sin has a great wage, which is death. But Jesus paid that price on the cross of Calvary. And then He rose again on the third day. And in doing so, He conquered death, hell, and the grave. So every man's sin has been paid for. And Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And now, because He sits rightly on the throne of God, And he has all right and he has all reason. He has extended a free gift of salvation to every man. Well, preacher, what is that gift? That is that if me and you were to simply accept that Jesus Christ did those things for us, we can be saved by the grace of God. Salvation is accepting Christ and his free gift. Which is mentioned right here in Romans 6:23. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, if somebody asks that person, do you realize that your sin has a great payment, has a great wage in his death? But do you also realize that Jesus paid for your death? Or Jesus paid for your sins by dying on the cross of Calvary? And right now he's extending the gift of salvation to you? And if they say, well, yes, preacher, I understand that. And I believe that. What do I do next? Well, then you take them to Romans 5:8, where the Bible says, but God committed his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And once again, you reassure them that, listen, Jesus doesn't expect you to be perfect. Jesus doesn't expect you to earn this. While you're yet sinner, while you're yet sinning, and while you're yet a sinner, Christ died for you. He paid that price for you on the cross of Calvary. And so you make them understand, one, that they're sinners, but that Christ paid that debt for them on the cross of Calvary. He asked them, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior? Would you like to accept and believe on the finished work of Calvary? If they say yes, they say, well, preacher, or they say, how do I do that? How do I become saved? How do I get saved? How do I trust Christ? Well, then you take them to Romans 10:9, where Jesus lays it out, where it's laid out in the Word of God, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so you see what it consists of. One, it consists of believing on Christ. Is that what it said right there? And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. You believe, and he's not talking about that muscles go. He's talking about your inner being, who you are, everything within you, believing that Jesus died for you. And see, that's why it's done by faith. Because me and you can't physically look back to Calvary. We can't physically see Jesus dying on the cross. But by faith, we can believe that he did it for us. And he did it so that we could experience his salvation, experience his grace and his mercy. So we see that, one, you must believe in your heart that Jesus died for you. Then he goes on to say that you must confess with your mouth. You must ask the Lord to save you. You must get honest with God. And everything that they probably just told you, they need to tell God. Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I have done wrong. Lord, I have transgressed your holy law. But Lord, I believe that you died for me. And Lord, I'm asking you to come to my heart and save me. And change my life. To be my Lord and my Savior. To save me for all eternity. So yes, we believe in our heart, but we confess with our mouth. We ask the Lord to save us. Then Romans 10:13 goes right on that, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you can tell that person, listen, if you do these things by faith, believing on Christ and believing in Christ, if you call out to him, ask him to save you, he'll do exactly that. He will do that exactly what you're asking. The Bible says that he's not willing that any should perish, and that he'll not turn any away that comes seeking repentance and comes seeking true salvation. He will not turn you away. And so then you can go through this and ask him, would you like right now ask Christ to be your Savior? Would you like to ask the Lord to save you? And they say yes. Ask him to pray out loud. Well, preacher, do they have to? Well, technically no. But listen, when you ask him to pray out loud, I wanted to help you as you're discipling them and as you're dealing with them in the moment, but it also helps them out. Because they'll be able to remember better what they said if they remember that they did ask the Lord to save them. And once they're done praying, and they say amen, you say amen. Now listen, after they're done praying, I'd encourage you to pray for them. Thank the Lord for them saving them. And thank the Lord for giving you the opportunity to be a part of it. And thank the Lord for the new life they're going to experience and the new joys that are going to come their way and the new peace that they'll have and the assurance that they get to spend eternity in heaven with God. So spend some time praying with them, and then once you're done praying, take them to Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1, and read them this verse. Because listen, what you want to do right after they just ask the Lord to be saved, or ask the Lord to save them, you want to reassure them that they have done what the Bible has done, or has told them to do, and in doing that, they can know for sure that they're saved. Look what the Bible says in Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith they just asked the Lord to save them, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. They are now at peace with God because they, by faith, have trusted and been justified by Christ. So you want to reassure them from God's Word that they are saved because the Bible says they're saved. One of the most difficult things you'll ever have to deal with or deal with a person is someone who's doubting their salvation. And that's why it's vitally important when you're dealing with somebody, once they've asked the Lord to save them, take them to the Word of God. Take them to a verse that will reassure them that they are saved by the grace of God. And they are saved according to the Bible. Because listen, my opinion won't last forever. My ideologies won't last forever. And if I told you you're saved, listen, that's only so good. But when the Bible tells you that you're saved, and that you've done what God has commanded, what God has asked of you to be saved, listen, that's going to stand for all eternity. God's Word will not return void. And that'll be an encouragement not just to me, but to the person listening, that they can go back and they can always go back to the Word of God and say, no, I did what the Bible told me to do. And if I've done that, I can trust that I'm saved by the grace of God. We must take God at His Word. So I'd encourage you as you begin to pray and ask the Lord to give you folks to witness to, give you folks to share the gospel with. When you go to share with them, you're going to be nervous. You're probably going to be fearful a little bit. You're probably going to have a little bit of anxiety. That's fine. But when you go with the plan. Go with the purpose to share the gospel, to give a clear presentation, to allow the Holy Spirit to do His eternal work. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in their heart. Allow the Holy Spirit to draw whoever's listening to you to the Lord, they might be saved by the grace of God. Give them that clear presentation. And then once they're done, reassure that they've done what the Bible has told them to do. And then rejoice. Rejoice. Listen, they're rejoicing in heaven when someone gets saved. So you might as well rejoice down here. Rejoice. And let that excitement not stop there, but let that excitement help you to go find somebody else. And do it over and over and over again for the glory of God. Go find somebody and share the gospel with them. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Thank you for being with us this evening. Let's be closed in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. I just pray, Father, would you help us this evening? Lord, give us a burden for souls. Give us a burden for the lost. But Lord, also help us to go with a clear presentation and a clear plan, Lord. Lord, you don't want us to go there just to bubble our lips. Lord, you want us to go there and share the gospel. You told us to teach all those and to preach to them and to share the gospel. I pray, Father, Lord, we do that with great effectiveness. We do that with great zeal and great desire. And Lord, that you give us a great increase and give us great fruit for our labor. And Lord, what a blessing it is, Lord, to be able to share the gospel with the lost and dying world. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't make it some spooky, crazy plan that we had to try to follow, but you gave us clear instruction in the Word of God how we can share the gospel with somebody, how they can know that they've been saved by the grace of God. Father, help us, Lord, to go and do just that. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this evening, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.